This is Caps PA announcer Wes Johnson, and you're listening to Both the Pods.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to a brand new edition of What the Puck. It is a Washington Capitals podcast. That means we're talking about the 2018 Stanley Cup champions. Everybody, thank you all for listening on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, Player.fm, Overcast, Google Podcast, and Spotify. Well, remember that last episode where I said, guys, we're not going anywhere. We're coming right back. We're going to do What the Puckies next week. Don't worry. Subscribe to your feeds, whatever, whatever. Well, sorry about that. Or as my friends from the North say, sorry about that, eh? With the season ending when it did for at least the Capitals, you know, it's summertime, so we get a little busy here in the off season at the What the Puck Cave. So Coach Dan and I could never. That's what we're doing.
It's not even you, man. It's 100% me. In that my job in the real world just does not allow for. Not that's not fair. That's not true. It doesn't, like, the job doesn't stop me. It's the reality of, like, what my job is stops me from being able to do a show as consistently because I'm working a lot. And so yeah. I have those days where there's one day so far this summer where I get to work at like 7:15 in the morning and I didn't leave until 10 o'clock at night. Like, I was driving off campus. I work at a camp in a school and I was driving off campus at 10 p.m. So I worked I don't even know what that is. Almost, what, a 15-hour day kind of thing? I'm not doing the math. I'm tired. So, like, the summers, I'm working, you know, 7:15 to – I think today I got out at 6:45, which is a little early for me, but I'll take it.
You see, you know, you're doing that all the time. I had one day earlier this summer where I worked until 3:30 in the morning, and then I had to do stuff at home at, like, a remote computer – until about 8 a.m. and then I had to get in and be in the office at 10 a.m. 2 hours later. So, like, it's been a rough summer. I mean, you definitely got it worse doing it a lot of the time, but I would say
yours is one day.
One day.
Every day. Not 10 every day.
No.
10 o'clock's only been once.
So, yeah, it's real life kind of gets the way. Like we said, we do the show for free. So when Coach Dan and I are available, we do it, you know, as much as we possibly can, but we do the show for free. So, until you guys start paying us, we can't do it as we would like as a job. So if anyone would like to pay us millions of dollars.
I don't know if we'd be able to do this even if we did get, like, a little bit of money. Like,
oh, come on. Good Morning Football does a football show every day for 9 months when they're not playing. Like, we could find content to talk about if we got paid.
I mean, we did go through a pandemic. We did that, too.
We did.
But through a lockout. We've done a couple and kept producing some sort of nonsense that we would just throw out there for the sake of it. Well, anything changed this week? Nope.
Let's talk about sweaters. That's what we did.
Okay. I really do think that they should have, like, updated jerseys every year, like in professional soccer.
That's far too expensive.
Oh, it would be cool, though, if, like, every year they had a different, not, like, dramatically different design, but, like, a different design. I would totally be down for that.
That's a lot of work. That's a lot of work.
Everybody would be like, what the hell, man? I gotta buy a new one.
So with the season over, congratulations to Tampa Bay. They're the champs.
No, stop it. Moving on. Anyway, so the Seattle draft's coming up.
Oh, and that is for the Seattle Kraken.
What is that?
It's Kraken. It's rum.
You're such a dork. Why do you have that?
This goes really well with eggnog at Christmas.
All right. So, oh, God. You know, I have to be honest. The name is – I'm coming around to it a little bit.
No, it's still a dumb name. And
I'm coming around. It's dumb, but I'm coming around to it.
When is the hashtag Krakenheads gonna go out? Because you know what's happening. Krakenheads. That's what it's gonna happen. That hashtag will happen this season.
Terrible.
But hey, so there's a draft coming up this week. We're recording this on Monday, July 19th, and on Wednesday, Caps are going to lose somebody. Like everybody else in the league, they will be losing
except Vegas.
That's true, to the Seattle Kraken. So you can watch that draft on ESPN2. That's right. The NHL is so important, couldn't even make it onto ESPN. So they put it on ESPN2.
It's an expansion draft.
So you can watch it there.
It's like the players are going to be there, and they get drafted, and they're like, yeah, and they go and hold up the jersey.
So
that'd be cool if they found a way to do that, but you would need so many seats.
Yes. Yeah, and you can only do so much. Yeah, in the COVID world we live in now. But let's talk about it. So here's the list that the Capitals put out of who they protected. Nicholas Backstrom, Yevgeny Kuznetsov, TJ Oshie, Tom Wilson, Anthony Mantha, Lars Eller, Daniel Sprong. On defense, John Carlson, Dmitry Orlov, Trevor Van Riemsdyk, and goalie Ilya Samsonov. That is the protected list. They will be your Capitals. Go buy their sweater if you feel like it. So of that list, is there anybody on
there? There's one guy on there that you might not want to buy his sweater right now because he might still be gone.
Is there anybody on there that surprises you that is on that list?
You want to just go overall? You want me to go, you want to do deep dive into the forwards? I have one guy that surprised me.
Yeah, give me that one guy.
I didn't expect Trevor Van Riemsdyk.
That seems to confuse a lot of people. A lot of people saw that name and were like,
I get it.
What?
I understand it. No, I understand it completely in terms of why they chose him. I just didn't think they would. Like, when I was looking at it, all of the real topics of conversation, there's three. Are they going to protect Sprong or Sheary? Are you going to protect Schultz or Dylan? Turned out to be neither. And are you going to protect Samsonov or Vanecek? I think we all were confident that Samsonov was going to be the guy. Sprong or Sheary was kind of, not us, like people in general. Sprong or Sheary, there was kind of a back and forth in terms of who it was going to be, but it was rare that anyone mentioned Trevor Van Riemsdyk as the guy that they were going to protect. And I think, I think they did it because they're willing to lose the financial responsibility and the cap hit for Dylan, assuming they're going to lose a defenseman, Dylan or Schultz. Like, I don't think it's going to be Nick Jensen. I don't think it's going to be Michael Kempney. I think if they take a defenseman, it's either Dylan or Schultz.
Yeah.
If they take a forward, it would it'd either be Dowd or Sheary. I don't see them taking Hagelin. I don't see them taking Hathaway. And I don't think they're going to take Vanecek, not after all the things we're hearing about, like, Carey Price. They're signing that dude from Florida, Chris Dreger. I don't
Dredger?
Know. Yeah, but they're finalizing a deal with him. So essentially, he is finalizing a 3-year contract. I'm confused. He's finalizing a 3-year contract with Florida. Oh, and then I think Florida's going to trade him, and maybe that's part of like a deal so they have to take a certain player. I don't know. Who cares? The point is, they're definitely going to – Seattle's taking this dude from Florida. So – plus, you have someone like Braden Holtby who's left available.
Yeah, supposedly a lot of teams are interested in the Holt Beast this offseason.
And then there's Carey Price who's thrown out there. I still don't see Seattle taking Carey Price just because of the cap hit, and there's the possibility he may be out for half the season. And I don't think it would help them necessarily. Like, yes, it'd be a great name, but I think you're already going to have – I have to imagine they're taking Tarasenko from St. Louis, so that's a big name for you to market. And then – they're probably going to make a couple trades. So they're going to have players to market. Like Marc-Andre Fleury was their big marketable guy at first, right? And then Carlson and other guys that they got. But then, who's Seattle going to take? A lot of people thought it was, TJ Oshie. He's going to be the guy that Seattle's going to take. And he's their market. He's their first captain. He's the one that they're really going to make a big deal about.
Well,
and
I mean, I think
he's not going anywhere.
Yeah, I think TJ Oshie kind of proved this last season with Ovechkin out and with all the COVID moves and everything that he's way too important to this team. Like, he stepped up. He played all these different roles that he was asked to play. He definitely showed that he was a leader of this team. And I think at that point with Ovi, I asked you, why isn't Ovi on the protected list? Well, it's because he's a free agent right now. Technically, he's not really a Capital as we speak. So, you know, with Ovi going down the way he did and everything like that, Oshie kind of stepped up and proved, like, yeah, you got to protect me because you don't want me going anywhere. I'm like the heart and soul of this team right now.
I mean, I think Oshie is a fantastic player for the Capitals. If I was buying a new jersey, you would probably have his name on the back. And I, you know, I wasn't surprised. I think over the last couple of weeks, McClellan came out and essentially said, we're protecting him. He's our guy. We're not losing TJ Oshie. I think there was some surprise in terms of Kuznetsov being protected because it seems like the team is done with him. But I don't think you give up a guy whose trade value, we don't really know where it is because we're just fans. But I don't think you necessarily lose a guy like Kuznetsov for nothing. Like, you need to get something back for him.
I think his value has gone down in the ever since the cup year, ever since 2018. However, I don't think, I mean, I'd like to see him go to Seattle just because I think he's not good for the locker room. However, if you're being a smart businessman, I guess you're thinking like, yeah, his value has gone down. Hasn't gone down so much that I'm giving away the guy for free. You know, we're going to need to get something mm-hmm. back, whether it be draft picks or something. Something needs to come out of that guy.
Oh, yeah, 100%. And so I think that's why they protected him, is that they didn't want to lose him for nothing. And so, you know, obviously you're protecting Backstrom. He had a no movement clause, so you had to protect him either way, unless he waived it, which he wasn't going to. Obviously, you're going to protect Eller, Kuznetsov, Mantha, Oshie, Wilson. There was talk about Sprong or Sheary. Sprong's younger. I think he can produce more offensively. And so I think it made complete sense to protect him. He was always kind of the one that was looking at going, yeah, it makes sense. I think the defense was the biggest surprise with Dan Riemsdyk. And I think it's because he's not like dramatically younger than the other guys. You know, he's 29. Dylan and Schultz are 30, 31. Jensen's 30. So it's not like that's a big deal. I think it's the money. That Van Riemsdyk, they still think can play, you know, third pair defenseman. But he's only at 950,000. Yeah, I mean, I think they're looking at getting rid of a $3.9 million cap hit or a $4 million cap hit in Schultz or Dylan. And they're looking at, okay, we can afford to lose one of these guys. Like, it's not going to hurt us that bad if that was to happen.
Now, I'm looking at the list here of available players, and we're talking about, you know, Brendan Dillon or something like that. Is there any chance, I mean, in your opinion, is there any chance that they take someone that maybe is a Hershey Bear at this point, like Axel Janssen-Fjällby? Do they?
No, I don't think he's available.
Yeah, no, he's available. He's on the list. Samantha Pell has him on the list. Do they go for someone like that or somebody like Brian Pinho, somebody who
– no. They're taking
an impact.
NHL guys. They're going to take I don't know if that would make any sense. Like, the only guy I could – no. I think they're definitely taking someone who's played in the NHL. They're not – now, the big name, obviously, everyone's talking – they're looking at is like, well, wait a minute. They didn't protect Ovechkin?
Right.
He's a unrestricted free agent, so they don't have to protect him because he's not their player. But then also, he's not going anywhere. He's either coming to Washington or he's going to Russia. He's not signing with anywhere else, and everybody knows that. And there's a lot of belief, and it's within the rules – that they are purposely not announcing his contract or having him sign it until after the draft so they could open up that extra spot to protect Daniel Sprong. So I think if anybody gets taken, they're not taking anyone from Hershey. I think it's pretty clear in my mind they're taking Vanecek or they're taking a defenseman. And I think, you know, if they lose a defenseman, I think that's best case scenario. Best case scenario is they take, like, Hagelin. Which I don't necessarily love losing Hagelin, but I feel like he hasn't produced as much as when he first came in.
Sure.
And I wouldn't mind getting out from under that contract. But they're not taking anybody from – they're not taking Janssen-Fjällby. They're not taking, like, Cameron Schilling or Phoenix Copley. They're not taking Pinho or Pylon or
– any of the P's.
Lucas Johansson, right? They're not taking anybody from Hershey. I think if I'm them – I think Dylan has ties to the Pacific Northwest, so I think that's –
yeah, Russian Machine put something out there about let me find it real quick, that he played, he was a Seattle Thunderbird as a youngster.
Yeah, and so that's a nice story from a marketing point of view for Seattle, but I don't see it happening. Not Dylan, I don't see it happening in terms of them taking someone else. I think if I'm then, I'm looking at Schultz, Dylan, and Vanecek, and I'm looking at the other goalies available, and I haven't personally done the research to look at, like, which goalies are, I know Price is out there, I know Holpe's out there. I think they need to go with a proven guy.
Sure.
And I think they want to go with a name, which they'll get one way or another. And then I think you need a potential. So if they go out and say they take Holpe from Vancouver, they might go looking at Vanecek. But then again, I don't know, because they're already going to take this other dude Or they're already getting this guy from Florida. So Vanacek's not.
They need a number one guy, and even though
well, no, that would be Holpe, right? That would be Price. But Vanacek's 25. He's not young in the sense of like, if he was 21, then I'm like, ooh, maybe they take him and they stash him down in wherever their AHL team is going to be for a year, and then bring him up because they signed this other dude from Florida who looks like he's going to be the number two. So I wouldn't even be surprised if they passed on Vanacek because they already got this other guy. And they take Dylan, Jensen, or Schultz. And I still don't think it'll be, unfortunately, Nick Jensen, because I wouldn't mind getting out from under his contract. He's still got two more years left. Just Dylan's got three. So I would take, if they take Schultz, Dylan, or Jensen, that is what it is. It's not like when we lost Schmidt to Vegas. Because we also have a young guy in Martin Fivari that's looking to make his full-time debut in the NHL, and they need a spot for him. And then they got Alexiev right behind him that they also want to give him an opportunity. So they have guys that they can bring up in the event that they end up losing, you know, one of the defensemen.
So best case scenario for the Capitals is that they do pick up a defenseman.
Best case scenario is they take like Carl Hagelin. Because then you're like, okay, well, we can replace him much easier. Right. But if they lose Dylan or Schultz or Jensen, like, I'm like, all right, you know, that's unfortunate because he's a veteran player, but we've got this kid who, you know, he's 21. He's ready to come up and make a name for himself. And if it's not him, they've got Alexiev, who also would like to come up and make a name for himself. So they've got, you know, these two young defensemen who are potentially ready to make that next move. And if that happens where they lose one of those guys, you're like, you know, okay, it's not the end of the world. Let's see what happens. And it frees up a decent amount of cap space that you're going to need to re-sign Ovechkin. You're going to lose someone, and you need to free up cap space. You got to re-sign Ovechkin. You got to re-sign Craig Anderson. Just kidding. You got to re-sign Samsonov. You know, do you want to bring back Michael Roffel? I actually thought he looked pretty good as like a third or fourth line guy. So I think the Seattle draft will then, who they take, will then set the rest of the offseason in motion in terms of what their next steps are. You know, if they lose a guy who doesn't make a lot, then not really going to help. You know, you want to get out from under a contract potentially that you don't want to be dealing with.
Now, right past the Seattle expansion draft, we have the regular NHL draft. Round one is on July 23rd. Rounds 2 through 7 will be on July 24th. Let's see. It looks like the Capitals, when do they have a pick? Do they not have a pick in the first round? I don't see them. If I'm reading this correctly, it looks like the Capitals do not have a pick until round two at number 55. So, you know, maybe this is where that...
oh, is that part of the Mantha trade?
Maybe, yeah. But if you're looking at that, I mean, the Caps could stay put at 55, or like you said, maybe you want to get something for Kuznetsov and you trade with somebody in the first round to get a spot there. But do you think, I mean, the Capitals, especially Brian McClellan, hasn't been really well known for drafting anyone or being really looking into the youth. He likes to trade. He likes veterans. So do you see the Capitals doing anything in this draft? Do you see them moving up from 55 with a trade? Do you see them staying put? What do you think the Caps will do after Seattle? And will the Seattle draft have any implication on what they do in the regular draft?
No, because I think I don't think the Seattle draft has any implications in terms of – not unless they go and they take a young guy, which they're not going to do. So, no, because they're going to be picking so late, even if they trade like Kuznetsov, they're not getting a top three pick for him, right?
Right.
So they're not getting someone that's going to produce on the team probably for a couple of years or at least a year. So, no, I don't think the two drafts are connected anyway. What I want to see from the NHL, from the you know, kid draft, the rookie draft, is I want to see them take obviously the best player available, but I'd like to see them look at continuing to replenish the forward depth in the organization. I know the last 2 years in a row we've picked forwards. We picked center Connor McMichael, then we picked Hendrix Lapierre. You know, I'd like to see another forward player taken, be it a center, left wing, right wing, whatever the case may be. Maybe actually I'd like to see a winger since the last two were centers, but I'd like to see some more winger prospects, offensive, you know, potential top six forwards. You know, our young guy was Vrana. He's now in Detroit. We brought in Mantha. Not, you know, an old guy. He's still young. He's like 25 maybe. Yeah. So I don't think that's like, yeah, I think you need to have someone that's coming up in the next, you know, the next round of guys, because you only have a couple more years of Ovechkin. You know, you have Backstrom moving on. Hopefully you get a center for Kuznetsov that can come in and take Backstrom's spot, and then you have McMichael, be it a first or second line center, but you need someone to be able to step into that top line left or right wing spot. Wilson's probably still playing there on the top line with new Kuznetsov or McMichael, but who's on the left? You know, is it Mantha? Maybe. But if it's not, you need someone else, and maybe you're trading for that guy, but it'd be great if you could bring someone up that can end up being a first line center. It doesn't, you know, sometimes teams discover players in, you know, later in the draft, and maybe the Caps can finally pull that off, because that really hasn't been the case with this team, you know, over the last however many years. I'm going back through their draft history right now, and I can't find someone that's played in the NHL for more than a handful of games that was drafted after the second round since Connor, well, he's a defenseman. Connor Carrick was a fifth round pick, but he didn't really play most of those games for the Caps. Christian Juice was a seventh round pick. Well done there. Hmm. Travis Boyd, sixth round pick, but he also wasn't a top line player. So you're looking, you know, you're looking for a steal. You're looking for someone you can find that ends up doing much better, and you know, than you expected. But we just don't know who that person is at this point.
Let's see. Anything else we should cover in Caps world? I mean, right now it's a lot of question marks of what next. Well, like,
who do you think Seattle's going to take?
I can see it being Brendan Dillon. I think he's the best bet of who's going to hit the road. Nick Jensen, I think, is the other one that is. I mean, it's a toss up between those two. Nick Jensen, though, he played the majority of last season with Zdeno Chara, correct?
Yeah, because Laviolette, like, wouldn't let anybody get a break.
Right.
And then they fell apart in the playoffs.
So, like, I'm wondering, did Nick Jensen show off enough last year that he really piqued the interest of Seattle? I don't know. I think they're kind of seeing him the same way I did, was, what can this guy do without one of the best defensemen, one of the best veterans of all time playing next to him? Can he still produce? I don't know if I'd, you know, roll those dice. If I have somebody else like Brendan Dillon there, who is a proven commodity, he's a big body, and you're going to need some of those bigger guys if you, you know, the NHL is younger, faster, smaller than it was, you know, 5-10 years ago. You bring in Brendan Dillon, you've got yourself a guy who can move some bodies around. You need at least one of them on the team. Otherwise, you've got everyone, you know, crying whenever Tom Wilson gets on the ice.
Tell us how you really feel, Brandon. This one I'm not as worried about as I was in the Vegas one. The Vegas one, I was like, oh my God, like, who are they going to lose? Right. What do you mean you didn't? Who were the defensemen they protected back then?
I do not remember.
It was Carlson or
the big worry was Grubauer. Everybody thought Grubauer mm-hmm. was leaving, and then they picked mm-hmm. up Fleury.
And they were running, woo hoo hoo hoo. You know, I'm not as worried about this one. I think I'm glad they protected Sprong. I think he's 24. I think he's got a good, decent future ahead of him in terms of being a role player who can put the puck in the net. I'm more interested to see who they pick. I think the cap space is going to be interesting in terms of who they pick, because they can't go out and just, you know, there's guys like Tarasenko who are available, because that whatever happened between him and St. Louis has just completely messed them up.
Right.
So they made him available, which I thought was interesting, instead of trading him. So it's looking at how much money are they really willing to throw into like a Carey Price, you know? And then that means if you take a guy like Carey Price, you then only have so much money to spend in other areas. And he's, you know, he's not just here for 1 year. Like, you take Holtby, it doesn't work out, he's gone after a season. He's a free agent. True. So, or do you take Carey Price and then ransom him back to Montreal? Or do you take Carey Price and he's like, screw you, I'm not reporting. So, which I don't know if he'd be allowed to do that. Or, I mean, anyone could not do that. You just probably won't get paid. You get suspended. So, I don't know. It'll be interesting to see what happens. If I'm them, I probably wouldn't happen. But I'm going after, like, a Zdeno Chara as a face. You know, I'm trying to find someone that still wants to play that can help.
And he was another one that was not protected because, again, he is a unrestricted free agent. So he's technically not a capital right now. I'd love for him to come back, but I don't even think he has put out what he plans to do next season yet.
I don't think so.
There is a 3-episode documentary about Zdeno Chara on Peacock, if anybody would like to go check that out. Peacock needs to work a lot on their app because when you search Zdeno Chara, they just give you a result of, yeah, there's nothing here. I don't know what you're looking for. But you just did a documentary about him.
Yeah, come on.
Why can't I just find him by his name?
So would you like to see what some of these mock drafts are?
Okay.
I just did like a quick Google search to see what people were picked. Columbus, everybody's got them taking Max Domi from Columbus. I was a little surprised that he was left available. One mock draft has Justin Schultz getting taken from the Caps. I'm trying to find. This one has Brendan Dillon. This one also. So I have 3. So we'll see if they're correct. That's be harder to find. Brendan Dillon. I wouldn't be surprised they took Dillon. I like Dillon. I'd be disappointed. I think it makes sense for them. And I don't think it hurts the Caps too much. He's still got a contract for 3 more years. So if they get out from under that one, it's not the end of the world. Schultz is a free agent after the season. This upcoming one, so that doesn't hurt too much. You know, you're freeing up a decent amount of cap space to almost rebuild your defense or add spaces for Favari and Alexiev, because then you have Carlson, Orlov, you still have Jensen under contract, you have Van Riemsdyk going into his last year, and then you have the 2 young guys as a possibility. So something interesting to look at. But no, I'm not as anxious about Wednesday as I was last go round when we played this game.
Well, this is a very different team as well, because it's a team that, yeah, they before the Vegas draft, they were, you know, they were the championship team. That was the 2-year window, and, you know, everything was going to work out for us in that 2-year window, and then it didn't. This time around, you know, the Caps haven't been able to get out of the first round. They play 5 games in the postseason. So I think all of us, as fans at least, are kind of hoping for a shakeup a little bit. We want to see what they're going to do and how they're going to fix it.
But
because
I don't think it's going to be a shake. I don't think it's a massive shakeup because we already know if they take a defenseman, I think it's Favari's spot just opens up.
Right. I mean,
they go and sign some other veteran defenseman.
Brian McClellan came out.
Oh, they're looking at Ryan Suter, by the way. I saw a thing. I think Russian Machine reported that the Caps apparently are one of the teams interested in Ryan Suter because he and Zach Parise got bought out by Minnesota. I don't know if you saw that thing where Suter got bought out. Bill Guerin tried to call him, couldn't get him on the phone, called Parise, told him he was getting bought out. Parise was shocked. He then called Suter to tell him what's going on. Suter was kind of like, you know, sucks to be you, buddy. And then he got a phone call from Guerin, was like, uh-oh. And then I guess in the middle of the phone call, which didn't go well, that Suter hung up on Bill Guerin, the GM in Minnesota. I was like, awkward. So that's unfortunate. And I, you know, Caps aren't looking for a veteran winger, but a Parise wouldn't be an interesting idea.
Yeah.
I don't like what it would cost. And that would be like, if they lost like Hagelin, I'd be like, if you take cheap money, I wouldn't be necessarily against it. Cause they don't really have a young guy in Hershey that's ready to step up to the forward ranks.
Sure.
But whatever. We'll see what happens. I'm going into this very or much more relaxed than I was last time where I was like, oh, we're going to lose Grubauer. And then reports started coming out that Schultz was the one they're going to take.
We're like, no.
It was Schmidt. Everyone was like, no. We don't want to lose him.
He's too funny.
Yeah, right? That was fine. Dude, I did miss that part. And now he wants out of Vancouver.
That place, everybody wants out of that place.
Well, that's true. Yeah, Vancouver's a mess right now. But I don't know. We'll see what happens. I'm looking at the 2017 expansion draft. Caps protected Ovechkin, Backstrom, Kuznetsov, Wilson, Eller, Johansson, and Burakovsky. Fairly similar roster.
Yeah.
Carlson, Orlov, and Niskanen, and Holpe. The interesting thing is, I wonder if there's going to be a player who gets picked this time that was picked by Vegas. Like, you got to imagine that guy's going to be like, come on. Again?
Do you think that this team is going to have the same mindset that got Vegas to the Stanley Cup Finals in their first year? Because that was a team made up of a bunch of really ticked off players who really wanted to show up their former owners and be like, oh, you won't protect me. You trade me away, huh? I'll show you. I mean, it worked for them. Got them to the Stanley Cup Finals, got beat by, you know, the great Washington Capitals. But, I mean, it got them all the way to the dance, that mindset. I mean, that's what got the Caps to that mindset as well. It was the fact that they were considered the underdogs for the first time ever. You know, the Caps weren't supposed to do a thing with that team. And that the fact that they were the underdog and there wasn't that pressure helped them get to the Stanley Cup Finals. But I kind of feel like, you know, Seattle potentially could be the same thing as Vegas, you know. Trade me, will you? Well, I'll show you. And then, boom, Stanley Cup Finals. To then lose to the Capitals. Let's repeat that.
I'm sorry. Who did they lose to?
The Washington Capitals.
Oh, okay, good. I just hear that. Just a handful more times. No, Wednesday. Yes, he brings up the cup. Wednesday at 8:00. There's a countdown clock on Cap Friendly. It'll be good. I'll be interested to see who they. It'll be interesting to see who the Caps lose and what other side deals might be made. The only team that can make a trade right now is Seattle.
Right.
And they have a roster freeze right now, which makes sense. So I'm curious to see who Seattle takes and what other like deals they make to force team or like for teams to protect their own player from getting taken that was left exposed by trading away assets or players to the Kraken.
As we look forward, you know, let's figure out who that the Capitals might lose to the Kraken. We got the draft, and then the Capitals and the NHL, a lot of the other teams, announced their preseason schedule. So we're getting closer to real hockey, fun hockey. So the Caps are going to be playing 6 games at the end of September, early October. Of course, everything got pushed back due to the shortened off season. So. Due to the shortened season starting so late due to COVID, you know, it's going to be probably mid-October until we have some actual real regular season hockey. But the preseason's here. The Capitals will be up against Boston, New Jersey, Philadelphia, New Jersey again, Boston again, Philly again. So staying close to home, and it's going to be 3 games away, 3 games at home. So that's good to see, 6 games at least. If you're interested in going to Capital One Arena, you know, you can go to see them up against Boston, the Devils, or Philadelphia. Those are your choices there. Or you could go to Philly on October 2nd and see them in Philly, but why would you want to go to Philadelphia?
Nope. Although, did you see the thing that Gritty put out? That
Gritty Camping?
I hate that he's associated with the Flyers because it's so funny.
He's good. That's a good mascot.
I wish that we – nothing against Slapshot. Screw Hattrick. Nothing against Slapshot. I just wish we had a – like, I wish Gritty was ours.
He's a silly guy.
It's so goofy. And whoever's behind it, like, there's – not their social – but, like, whoever's behind all the stuff that Gritty does, like, well done to you. You deserve a raise.
I do agree to that. Gritty is one of the best. But what else we got going on? Oh, yeah, I guess we should. I mean, it's been a while, but we should announce that the USA hockey team, got bronze in the World Championship. So congratulations to them. I got to say, I don't know if you watched any of the World Championship. I know you're a busy guy, but due to COVID.
No, I don't have the channel.
Oh, that's right. You don't have the NHL.
It's all on NHL Network. Even my father-in-law is like, I can't believe I have NHL Network. I'm like, it costs money, man.
But due to COVID and a lot of the restrictions they had over in Latvia for the World's Championship, there's a tradition that they – I don't know if it's a tradition. I think it should become a tradition. But they had the captains of each team be the one to put the medal on the players. I thought that was like a great little addition to
– I remember you texting me.
Yeah, to the end of the game. Like, and oh, God, who was it? Brian something. He was a former NHLer. He played for the Devils, I believe. he was the captain for Team USA, and he hadn't played in like 16 months or something. He wasn't signed to anybody, so he went over to Worlds, became the captain of Team USA, and he's the one handing out the bronze medal when he wasn't even playing for a team for like over a year and a half. It was a really cool story, but I would love to see that happen and actually stay, once COVID's over, stay a part of any kind of tradition, like whether it be the Olympics or the World Championship or World Juniors, have the captains be the one to put the medals around the necks of the athletes. I thought that was a great touch.
No, I actually really like that, and I'd like to see that continue. I thought that was actually really cool.
Also, since we are talking a little bit about international hockey as well, we do have to bring up, we're recording this on July 19th, and the Winter Olympics are actually 200 days away from today. So if you are an Olympics fan, don't have much more time to wait. 200 days away from the Winter Olympics. Whether the NHL will allow their players to play is...
Calling it now.
Not yeah, happening. They're still not saying whether it's going to happen or not, unfortunately. But that's where we're at right now. But that's why there's no schedule. That's why there's only preseason as well.
Yeah. Woo, preseason schedule. It's like they go 0-6. What are they playing? 6 games? Like 0-6. Yeah, 0-6. And I'd be like, whatever. As long as they're like showing. Because it's a veteran team, more or less. So I'm not as worried about it. You know, if they get blown out each of those games, I'll be like, I think something's wrong. But other than that, I'm not overly concerned about it. Although, with the season coming up, you got to kind of feel for the Hershey Bears, given that their head coach just moved off to go join Toronto, the Maple Leafs, as an assistant. Which, good for him, but if you're Hershey, you're like, hey, could you have done this a couple months ago so we could be ready for next season? Like, they're going to have to hustle to find a new coach.
He won AHL. It's Brian Boyle, by the way. That was the USA team.
Oh,
captain,
yeah.
Brian Boyle.
Okay. Yeah.
But anyway, yeah, that really sucks for Hershey. I mean, he won the AHL Coach of the Year, so, you know, he's impressive at the AHL level. Of course, it's a great opportunity for him, but, man, what a blow to the Washington Capitals organization because, again, like we said, Brian McClellan, he doesn't really like the minors and doesn't really like, you know, the young roster, but this guy did some great stuff with Hershey. I mean, especially during COVID, he did more than what Peter Laviolette was able to do with the Capitals during this rough time. He you know, inspired the players to play better during a really rough time. So he's a great coach. I'm very unhappy that he's leaving the organization the way he is.
Yeah, it's definitely a disappointment for the team. And, you know, did he have a possibility of coaching in the NHL as head coach with the Capitals? Maybe. You know, well, I guess at this point we won't know.
This will get him closer to probably that NHL job he's dreamt of.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely seems like he's on the right track. And, you know, we'll see what comes next for him. But if I'm Hershey, I'm a little annoyed at the timing. But it is what it is. And, you know, hopefully they'll find a good next head coach for them.
Anything else we should talk about on this episode of What the Puck?
No, I'm actually surprised we went this long considering it's the off season.
I told you. I mean, this is what we know. What this is what we do. We usually go this long.
I just have random conversations in the middle of a show.
All right, guys. Well, if you want to continue the conversation with Coach Dan or I, you can. It's real easy. All you have to do is tweet to either one of us. You can tweet to me at Brando Cash. Coach Dan, where can people tweet to you at?
You can find me on Twitter at WTP Coach Dan. Occasionally, when I have an opportunity to actually be on my phone during the day, talking all kinds of Capitals related stuff, as well as Arsenal Football Club, the Bills, the Washington Football Team. I think it's happening. I think we're gonna see the Red Wolves.
Really? You think so?
Yeah, I think they had that like video. I didn't watch the video because I don't care that much. But I saw sort of like a breakdown of the video. That's not a great way of describing what I read. But they were talking about basically people think it's going to be the Red Wolves because they had like a very quick shot of it. And now in like a design. They had a couple other things in there that could go the other direction, but I think we're going to see the Washington Red Wolves after the season. I don't love the logo that was, I think, on there, but – whatever, that's not a big deal. But anyway, somehow that's finding me on Twitter at WTP Coach Dan. But if you've enjoyed the show, go ahead and check us out on Facebook. Or if you haven't enjoyed the show, check us on Facebook as well. Facebook.com/what the, just give us a follow or like or thumbs up or whatever it is you're supposed to do on Facebook. I don't know. But find us at Facebook.com/whatthepuckpod. It's where we post when new shows are coming out, as well as all sorts of interesting information about the Washington Capitals, Hershey Bears, South Carolina Stingrays, National Hockey League, USA Hockey, and whatever else Brandon finds on the internet that he thinks is funny. But yeah, that is Facebook.com/whatthepuckpod. But Brandon, if they've enjoyed this show and they want to go ahead and check out any other programs that you might be a part of or producing, where should they go?
You can go over to, where should they go? BrandoCash.com?
I think I actually botched that. That's not how I normally do the thing. Do you want me to do it again?
No, you're fine. I'm going to keep this all in. You can go to BrandoCash.com. You can check it out there. But really, that website, I don't maintain it. I'm going to be completely honest. I just keep the name there so no one else can have it. So I got the domain. But you can check out my other podcast called The Call. It's a Baltimore Ravens podcast. We'll be coming back in probably, you know, 2-3 weeks. Training camp's ramping up for the NFL, so that should be a lot of fun. I'm going to a crab feast this Sunday at Jimmy's Famous Seafood, and Tyus Bowser, who is a Raven, will be there and signing autographs and eating crabs, so I will be enjoying that. I'm really hungry for some football. You know, I don't know why. I don't know why this off season especially. I'm like dying for it to come back, but I'm excited. The Ravens look really good, so we'll check that out in a couple weeks. But hey, we do this show for free. You listen, stream, and download for free on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, Player.fm, Overcast, Google Podcast, and Spotify. All we ask in return is for you to please spread the word about the show. Write us an Apple Podcast review, and then let people know on Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr and Pinterest and Instagram and Reddit and Snapchat, Twitch and TikTok, wherever you are social on the web or with your phone. Say, I'm a Washington Capitals fan. I listen to What the Puck, and you should too. Now, we don't have any games to get you guys ready for. However, we do have to say good luck to Katie Ledecky. She is over in Tokyo for the Olympics. She is a huge Caps fan. She's from around the D.C. area, and she is a swimmer, so make sure you root her on, just like you would root on the Capitals. Let me see. They have her schedule here. Let me see if I can find it. So you can see her. Wow, that's a lot of... She's going to be very busy. July 24th, she's in two races. July 25th, she's in two races. Three on July 26th, two on July 27th, two on July 28th, one on July 29th, and another on July 30th. So that is a lot of swimming for Katie Ledecky, but she's a great swimmer. Hopefully she does a great job at the Olympics, brings home some gold for the USA. Now, also, before we get out of here, we should mention that the IIHF Women's World Championship was rescheduled. It is going to be August 20th through the 31st in Calgary, Alberta. So if you are a fan of hockey, definitely support the women's teams and watch the Women's World Championship. This is their first tournament, I think, since 2019. Because the 2020 championship got canceled, and then the one that was supposed to happen in May got canceled as well due to a COVID outbreak in Halifax. So it's been finally rescheduled, and the Women's World Championship will be happening at the end of August. You can watch those games on the NHL Network. So make sure you go out, support women's hockey, and watch the USA win some gold and beat Canada again. Suck it, Ryan.
Yeah, eat it. Yeah, Canadian Chelsea fan.
And, hey, if you are a hockey fan out there and you're in the D.C. area, you should definitely check out the show Letterkenny on Hulu, because Letterkenny's going on tour, and they are coming to D.C. in February, and I really want to go. That show is hysterical. I love it. Watched all 9 seasons in, like, the span of 2 months. Month and a half, maybe. Great show. You should definitely watch that, Coach Dan.
Yeah,
just don't
I
watch
know.
It when the kid's around. It's not kid-friendly.
Yeah, no kidding.
All right, well, that's it for the show this week. Pending schedules, we should be back next week to talk about what happened at both drafts. But make sure you keep us subscribed on whatever you listen to podcasts on, because you never know when a show might pop up. So, again, like us on Facebook. Keep us subscribed on your podcast apps, and we will be there. And we will talk about it when we are able to. So that is it for the show this week. Coach Dan, how did I end the show? Was it is that gel? Do we keep that going? Because that...
No, that's last season. I think we just got like a Let's Go Caps chant.
Yeah, just go old school, I guess?
I think we go old school until something new happens next season.
All right. Well, everybody, say it loud, say it proud. Let's go Caps!
This has been a production of Brando Cash Entertainment. Music by DJ Wolfman. Voiceover by Sarah Jacks. For more information, go to brandocash.com.